Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, I want to go back to a subject that I had started to talk about the other day on the radio broadcast under the heading. You can check it out there on sermonaudio.com. But it was under the heading that Dr. Albert Mohler had publicly repented at a recent event that had just taken place. It was Southern Baptist Convention's Ethic and Religious Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. This is the Ethics and Religious Liberty wing of the Southern Baptist Convention, of course. And they had a big conference in Nashville recently. I think they, you know, had a dozen speakers that were speaking there. 2-day conference, 1,300 attendees. And they also had, I think, around 10,000 people that participated in a live stream of the event that was taking place. Well, towards the beginning of it, I don't know if it was the very first thing that was done there, but Dr. Albert Mohler offered some repentance. He's repented basically, and you can read exactly what the repentance was in the article that I referred to from RNS, Religious News Service. That article was written by Sarah Pulliam Bailey. You can read her article on that, and she gives the exact quote from Dr. Mohler. But basically, he was repenting of his previous views about orientation. And he said that he felt the need in order to preach the gospel or hold his fidelity to the gospel, that he had to deny that there was anything like sexual orientation. Now, that's a very interesting statement, to say the least. I made a number of comments about that, and I don't want to rehash the exact same comments, but let me just say that I found the entire message that came out of this conference to be somewhat disturbing and extremely concerning as to where the SBC is exactly going on these issues. Now, I've taken issue with Dr. Russell Moore, who's the head of the Southern Baptist Ethic and Religious Liberty Commission. He's done some other things that I've publicly spoken out about and said I didn't agree with them, and I was unsure about where he is going with some of these statements that he's making. But let me say that the general consensus from everyone that I have read or spoke to about that are familiar with this most recent conference, the general consensus is this, that there was an awful lot of confusion about exactly where the SBC stands on a number of these issues. That's the general thought. And that comes from not only those that are in the SBC, but outside the SBC, like myself. It comes from people that are advocates for what's being called the gay Christian movement. They said that they were very confused by the comments that were made. And then even from conservatives, those that hold to a traditional view take a very strong position on the issue of homosexuality, those people said they were very confused by some of the statements as well. Some of them have told me, and I won't mention any names, but that they were going to attempt to confront Russell Moore about some of these issues. Now, I had some people post and some of the comments and said, you know, well, you're taking some of these things out of context and you're just sensationalizing the issue and so forth. Let me tell you what my purpose is. I just see that there's a real problem here with what is being said. I put in one of my posts that homosexuality is the shibboleth of our day and age, of our generation. You remember what the shibboleth was, right? Where in the Old Testament, where they determined who was among the people of God and who wasn't based upon the way that they would form the word shibboleth. If they spoke it properly, it showed that they were from a certain region and they had the ability to formulate the words properly. But those that weren't, they would say Sibboleth. And when they said Sibboleth, then those that were examining whether or not they were truly of the people of God, then they would realize that these people were not really the true people of God, and they then would separate themselves from them. In fact, in that particular instance, I think they actually took their lives. But the idea there is that there is a litmus test, if you will. There's a way of determining where people are. What do they believe? What do they believe about the gospel, the transforming power of the gospel? What do they believe about man's nature, the very nature of man, the very essence of man, and so forth? What is intrinsic in that nature? What do they believe about sanctification and justification and so forth? And sometimes there appears in our days, in our particular generations, there appears a subject that is so prominent that it works as that litmus test, as that shibboleth. And this is the one in our generation. The one for us is the idea of homosexuality. What do you believe about this subject? Where do you stand on this issue? And I think that speaks volumes about what your theology is in a number of different areas. And so let me read to you a little bit. Sometimes reading these statements, these articles, it gets a little tedious here, so I'll try not to go very long. And a lot of times I like to interject my own commentary along the way, which makes it even more confusing. But I'll see what I can do here on talking about these things. And then I want to play for you, again, another little clip from Dr. R.C. Sproul. He spoke about homosexuality on Ligonier's ministry, of course. It was a long time ago. There's no doubt about it. Somebody said, well, you're just pulling a clip from RC that was, a long time ago. I don't make any bones about that. It was a long time ago. But in the beginning of the tape that's out on Ligonier.org, they say that these were timeless truths, the way that they put it. They say, although it's recorded with yesterday's technology, the truths of these messages contain are timeless. So they acknowledge, yeah, it is no recording, but they're saying that what Dr. Sproul said on the recording is still true today. So we're going to listen to a little bit of that. He makes some very interesting statements there. But let me read to you a little bit. This was another article. This one was written, again, it was posted out on RNS, Religious News Service. This one's by Jacob Lupfer, L-U-P-F-E-R. And it's more of a commentary on what took place. He says this, while the Southern Baptists seem to be moving past same-sex marriage as a culture war issue. That was one of the things Dr. Moore was doing constantly. He constantly was talking about taking a fallback position on the issue of same-sex marriage, something I did not agree with him about. Now it seems, now here in this article, this person looking at this saying that they've moved past it, moved beyond it. I haven't moved past it. They seem to have moved past it, according to him. So here's where the problem begins, right? And I should tell you what the article is entitled, too, to start with. It says, Southern Baptists change their tone, but not their substance on homosexuality. So that's what his thesis is in writing this, that they've changed their tone, but not their substance. My point is, I think they've changed their substance somewhat as well. What they think about home, and I know they have, because Dr. Albert Mohler started off by repenting of his previous view. So if you had a previous view on this, and now you've changed that view on human sexuality, that is changing your position or the content of it, not just the tone. The tone was certainly changed, and part of the tone, I agree with him on the tone. I've spoken about that very often. This goes further than tone. This goes to the very substance of what we're talking about. So he goes on in the article then to say they're moving past this and moving past their opposition, but they're not moving past their opposition to homosexuality. Among the various speakers, there were certainly mixed messages. Yet the conference was remarkable for two notable shifts. A change in the tone, call it a kinder, gentler opposition to homosexuality, and a pragmatic confession that the fight over gay marriage is largely lost. And so this is what he determined was the message that they were giving out, that they've lost the fight on gay marriage and that they're going to shift in their tone. He goes on to say this, though they do not believe civil law should recognize gay and lesbian unions as marriage, the conference acknowledged that there are many graver threats to marriage and family life in America than same-sex marriage. Well, I agree that there are other threats. I don't know if I would say that they are graver threats, but there are other threats, and there's no reason why we have to leave off of discussing one in order to be able to discuss other. We can multitask. We can equally speak about the issues related to divorce and adultery and so forth, and at the same time, clearly articulate why same-sex marriage is wrong in our society. And listen, our message doesn't change or get altered because the Supreme Court says makes one decision on something, or a non-decision in that the most recent case. It doesn't change because the culture now finds same-sex marriage more acceptable. We don't say then, okay, we're going to move on in what we are going to talk about in the scripture. We obviously, we did a very poor job of clearly laying out why same-sex marriage was wrong and giving people the arguments. This is why so many Christians have bought into this notion as well. We need to do a better job on it. So I haven't moved on at all. I've just doubled my efforts to more clearly and articulately talk about why these things are not consistent with the Christian life. The article goes on. They clearly reiterated their belief that gays and lesbians must abstain from engaging in sexual expression if they seek to live faithful as faithful Christians. Yet speakers emphasize that everyone, straight and gay, experiences sexual temptation. Now, this is telling in this statement. Notice what he says and what he doesn't say. He says that they clearly reiterated their belief that gays and lesbians must abstain. Now, here's where the real problem is coming in, right? The real problem is that they believe that the gays and lesbians can stay who they are. They can essentially, intrinsically, biologically still be gay as long as they don't act on those gay impulses. They either remain celibate or they just don't, they don't give in to the expression of that gayness by committing acts of homosexual acts, that he's interpreting that was their message. And I totally agree that's what their message was, but I totally disagree that is the message of the gospel. The gospel deals with the issue of transformation. And this is where we need to really think about this issue. Where are we positing homosexuality to be? With Moeller's confession or his repentance there, saying that sexual orientation, saying that he repented of not believing in the idea of sexual orientation, is he now saying that a person can be born gay? I think that's what he's saying. He's saying that there are certain people that are born gay, that, you know, it is part of their DNAs. He's either saying that it is biological or it is essential or it is intrinsic to their nature. Well, where are we positing it? Is it in their nature that they are homosexual? And if it is, the gospel says that when we come to Christ, we receive what? A new nature. Are we now saying that you can have a new nature in Christ, and the new nature in Christ can be homosexual? It can have homosexual tendencies associated with it? Do you see the problems that this begins to raise? Now, the reason why I say that this is what they believe, and it's very difficult to tell because they're not being forthright exactly on what they believe. It's coming out in drips, you know, it's just a little at a time, and Russell Moore is just not laying it all out there. And I think that we need to really pressure them. Tell us exactly what you are saying. I want to know exactly where do you posit then homosexuality to be, And can a person be a homosexual in his nature and then say, and then but not act upon it and still be saved? Because that is not the gospel message. And R.C. points that out in this statement we're going to hear. Let's go ahead and listen to the statement that's there. And while we're just setting it up there, just one quick point, two points here about the conference and why I think that this is what they're teaching. One, they had a gay priest speak at the event as well. Now get that. This is the way he was listed, as a gay celibate priest. His name is Sam Alberry. And it says this in the article, that he won effusive praise from American neo-Calvinist evangelicals for what he was talking about at the event. So that's Calvinists. This is the Reformed people. He won praise from the new Calvinists for what he was saying, and then it goes on to say, by speaking on the subject of the unique opportunities in the life of the celibate gay Christian. So he's saying, you know, I'm still a Christian in my very nature, but I'm celibate. I'm not going to act upon it. And now he's even going so far as to say there are unique opportunities this way. You know, that it might even be, in my words, these are my words, not his. But is he saying that it's preferable? That now that not only is it do we need to accept it, but it's actually a preferable way from, you know, the way that was basically ordained, essentially ordained by God? That's what seems to be so problematic. Let's listen to what R.C. has to say on this.
I'd like to just turn away now for a second from biblical exegesis to a little bit of rehearsal of practical experience here. I have been very much involved in the past several years in counseling with homosexuals. Not only with homosexuals who have made a profession of faith in Christianity and have sought to brought their lives into conformity with the will of God, but also with those who have not so embraced the Christian faith. And in the cases that I have dealt with in my own limited experience as a counselor with homosexuals, I have discovered several things. First of all, that to deal with the homosexual is one of the most difficult problems that we have to deal with. It is a difficult question. And it would be so much easier for all concerned to just ignore the problem and say to people and to the world, to the homosexual, look, you're okay. It's all right. You're just left-handed. It's fine. Except for me to do that is to commit perjury to the Word of God. Second of all, I discover in in-depth conversations with homosexuals who initially may protest very strenuously that they are okay, and that what they need is social acceptance and liberation, not healing. In the final analysis, and I'm sure this is not necessarily the case with every homosexual, but in the ones I've dealt with, in the final analysis, they reveal that their deepest feelings is they want to be out of this problem. But they have come to this position that their only solution is acceptance of their problem, and have taken that route because they've lost hope of salvation. They have bought the myth that they are intrinsically homosexuals, that they are caught up in a lifestyle that's deterministically given to them, and they have no hope of changing the structure of their nature any more than they think they can change the whole structure of the universe. They have been listening to a society that tells them that they are sick and that there is no cure for their disease. Now that may sound at first glance comforting. For this reason, well, if I'm sick and there's no cure for my disease, then I cannot be held responsible, morally culpable, for my activity. I can't help myself. So don't condemn me or my activity. You see. And that may sound like a very liberating thing, except to the man who really cannot accept the fact of his homosexuality, or the woman who cannot accept the fact of her homosexuality. That is not a large comfort to her or to him. That is telling them, in effect, there is no hope. There is no transforming power available to change my nature. All right? At this point, I think it's important that we take a somewhat radical position towards homosexuality. And this radical position, that is a position that goes to the rod X, to the root of the problem, that I would personally advocate and ask you to consider, is first of all, beginning with this fundamental thesis. Biologically, essentially, and intrinsically, there is no such thing as a homosexual. Let me say it again. Biologically, essentially, and intrinsically, there is no such thing as a homosexual.
Well, there you have it. There's the statement by Dr. Sproul. I know that you're probably like, oh, let that play a little bit. I want to hear what he says after that. But there's the important statement. And again, you can just, if you just Google R.C. Sproul, homosexuality, it'll bring you to Ligonier Ministries website, and you can listen to what he says there. He says a lot of other things, but the basic premise, remember, he says this is the fundamental premise that we need to look at to get to the core, the root of the issue about homosexuality. Biologically, essentially, and intrinsically, there is no such thing as a homosexual. And he goes on to say that what the Bible means, and really what the term should mean in our contemporary culture, is one who commits homosexual acts. And earlier in the recording, he had said that homosexuals have come to the conclusion that acceptance is the only solution. And not only have they come to that conclusion, but those who are advocates of homosexuality, they may not be homosexual themselves, but they are, advocates for it, and this is just fine. They're okay. They're just left-handed, as R.C. spoke about there. And they're advocates for it. They're telling them that that they have bought into the myth that they are intrinsically homosexual. That means you're born this way, and because of that, that they are caught up in a lifestyle that is deterministically given to them, and they have no hope of changing their nature. There is no transforming power available to change that nature. Well, that that's the type of elements, though, that I think are disturbing about what I'm seeing in the religious and ethics wing of the Southern Baptist Convention, because they seem to be saying that it's okay for you to stay in that essential, biological, intrinsic condition as long as you just don't act upon it. Therefore, there was a lot of talk about these types of statements. He says in the article, the commentator noted that Dr. Moore had denounced reparative therapy as quote-unquote severely counterproductive. And even some of the commentators that were there, and even some of the ex-gay advocates that were there, they recoiled when he made comments like that. That to change your very nature, to go about repairing what is broken, that would be counterproductive. J.D. Greer seemed to think along the same lines. He made this statement. He said that there are certain homosexuals that God heals. Well, that implies that there's some that he doesn't, that can be come to Christ without it being healed, and you can remain essentially as a homosexual. Listen, I believe in the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when a person comes to faith in Christ, their entire nature is changed. They are given a nature that is that of a Christian. They are given a brand new nature. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.